This is North Shore Today for Friday, April 7, 2017. Ariana McNeil writes in the Salem News in Beverly, Mike Achavati has lived on Essex Street near the Route 128 Exit 18 interchange since the 1980s and has witnessed his fair share of incidents that come along with a busy road. He extended his driveway around so that he no longer has to back his car out onto the street so he could alleviate the headache, but there isn't a remedy for everything. The retired deputy fire chief recalled when a car hit the utility pole across the street, ripping the wires from his home. Power had to be cut while repairs were made. Achavati said the pole had been hit three times since he's lived there. Ariana McNeil continues, conditions on this part of Essex Street in Beverly took a fatal turn last week when 28-year-old Jeffrey DiLorenzo was killed in a three-car accident March 28 near where the street intersects with Meadow Road. The road is down Essex Street from the Sterling YMCA and traveling from the Montserrat neighborhood is at the base of the hill before the Route 128 interchange. The crash remains under investigation, according to police. Authorities have not publicly speculated on any factors that led to the accident. No charges have been filed. One thing is certain, city officials have long realized that that stretch of road near the Route 128 interchange is dangerous. Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill said his administration has been working on preliminary designs to reconfigure the 128 interchange there with the hope it would alleviate traffic problems further along Essex Street where the accident occurred. He intends to speak with city councilors over the coming weeks about what can be done. More on this story in today's Salem News, story written by Ariana McNeil. A Lynn forum Thursday night focused on criminal justice reform. Bill Newell has that story.
Rick, criminal justice reform was the topic for several hundred residents of North Shore communities who gathered at St. Stephen's Church Thursday evening in Lynn with several of their legislative representatives. In an event sponsored by the Essex County Community Organization, or ECHO, legislators and guest speakers were invited to address the crowd specifically about support for the Justice Reinvestment Act and bail reform. Leah Dearborn writes on today's front page of the Daily Item the following article. State Representatives Brendan Crichton, Daniel Cahill, Paul Tucker, representative from Thomas Walsh's office, and State Senator Thomas McGee of Lynn all attended. One of the first topics that was discussed was mandatory sentencing minimums. Reverend Andy Belmer, a Zion Baptist Church in Lynn, told about her son Elijah, who was incarcerated following a $200 robbery in 1999. She said her son's bail was set too high for the family to pay, and they were pressured with a mandatory minimum sentence of 20 years. He served 7 years in prison as a result. Quote, by the way, Massachusetts, I want you to know, time served, said Belmer, as she walked off the stage to applause. Now, other speakers advocated raising the felony threshold from $250 to $1,500 and cited damage caused by the accrual of fees during incarceration. Speaker Sean Ellis introduced himself as W59259, the number he was given while imprisoned on a conviction that was later overturned. He said funds to pay for witnesses following his trial came from the pockets of family members. Ellis referred to others on parole who pay $80 per month to be monitored but struggle to find employment because of their record. There's more on this story in today's edition of the Daily Item of Lynn. For North Shore Today, MSO News Sports, I'm Bill Newell. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you. Have a great weekend. John Castelluccio writes in the Salem News, city councilors in Peabody withheld their support for a pay raise to the city's light commissioners Thursday night, despite several councilors saying they felt commissioners deserved a raise. After a long silence, as Finance Committee Chairman Dave Gravel waited for someone to make a motion, John Turco offered to introduce a motion to reject the raise. That passed 3-2, with councilors Ann Manning Martin, Turco, and Peter McGinn opposed to the raise, while Gravel and Tom Gould supported one. The discussion quickly became infused by recent contentious union negotiations between light plant managers and employees, both of whom attended Thursday's meeting, along with light commissioners. Those talks, which had lasted for a couple of years, ended with an agreement that is mainly retroactive. More on this story, written by John Castelluccio in today's Salem News. Thomas Grillo writes on itemlive.com, Union Hospitals' days are numbered. Dr. David J. Roberts, who took over as president of the North Shore Medical Center this week, said Lynn's only hospital will be shuttered in the fall of 2019 and sold. Its closure will coincide with the opening of a $210 million campus in Salem. The new building will include an emergency room and 24 medical surgical beds. The Spalding building, which will be renovated, will become a mental health center. The new NSMC facility will be completed in October of 2019, and at that point, the Union campus will close, Dr. Roberts is quoted as saying. Today, Union Hospital offers an ER, inpatient pediatric and geriatric psychiatry intensive care units, and a medical floor for patients recovering from orthopedic surgery. Last year, it served 20,000 ER patients and averaged about 50 medical/surgical patients. Dr. Roberts said it's still unclear what kind of urgent care will remain in Lynn. More on this story, written by Thomas Grillo, on today's itemlive.com. Ray Lamont writes in the Gloucester Times, Gloucester officials working on the city's fiscal 2018 budget proposal are grappling with a revenue gap of up to $2 million, fueled by outside and contracted cost hikes and lagging revenues. Chief Administrative Officer James Destino has been heading up development of Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken's budget proposal with John Dunn, the city treasurer, and chief financial officer. They've been working with department heads to scale back expenses for the fiscal year that begins July 1. The mayor is slated to deliver a finished fiscal 2018 budget to the city council in early May. Destino said the budget equation is already threatening delays in capital projects. He said the city will be asking for some reduction from the schools, though the amount is not yet known. The school committee hosted its annual public budget hearing Thursday night and affirmed its proposed $41.2 million budget. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.